Tired of buying a bunch of different shorts for working out, looking good, and just life in general? Try Bird Dogs. They feel like gym shorts, but look like khaki shorts. The ultra-breathable fabric keeps you cool, and the built-in liner is an added layer of support. To top it all off, Bird Dog shorts look so good, you can wear them anywhere. Go to birddogs.com/MLB and enter promo code baseball for a free baseball hat with your order. That's birddogs.com/MLB, promo code baseball for a free hat. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off, we promise you.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We are inching closer and closer to the NBA draft that is supposed to get underway any moment from now. We all know who the number one overall pick is going to be. It will be Victor Wembanyama. The selection will be made. You'll see Victor Wembanyama walk across the stage. And then I did hear Victor Wembanyama, when we were sitting around him yesterday at his media availability, reveal that he will play some summer league. There was a thought that he wasn't going to play any summer league, but he did say yesterday that he will be at the summer league. So you get to see a little Victor Wembanyama on the court. I usually laugh at the coverage of summer league, and I hate how people take summer league so seriously and they think it's going to define someone's career. And I think too much of an emphasis is placed on summer league. But this year, when you have Victor Wembanyama on the court in summer league, I'll definitely be watching. Because the thing about Victor Wembanyama, most of us haven't seen him play. And I do think there's something to be said. When you haven't seen someone play and everyone tells you he's the greatest thing ever. Like you look at Shohei Ohtani. It felt like he was mythological when he was coming over to the U.S. to play with the Angels because you hear he could pitch at an elite level. And then at the plate, he'll just mash home runs. And you hear so much about him that just naturally the mind gets moving in a direction that I want to see what he's going to do. And there's such a buildup upstairs that you just want to see it with your own two eyes. And Ohtani had some injuries early and now has been the best player in the sport, hands down. You then look at a guy like Victor Wembanyama, the hype has been to a level where it's almost insufferable. Where you get Chris Broussard saying, if he goes on to be Hakeem Olajuwon or Kevin Durant, he would be a disappointment where all the hype is. So now it's the official day where Victor Wembanyama hears his name called. Then we'll get to see him in summer league. But really where the fun gets going and where it gets started is when you get to see him play come the fall. And I can't wait till the Spurs schedule comes out. I want to see whether it's at MSG, Barclays Center, if I have to go down to Philadelphia or Boston, whenever he's in town, hopefully on a weekend, I want to go see this guy play. And I was fortunate enough, I was in Boston, family trip, Thanksgiving weekend, LeBron's rookie year, to see LeBron play for the Cavs. And it was awesome. And I remember that as a kid, and that was so fun. And there's going to be so many kids now. And I do feel like kids now, especially in the era of social media, they gravitate towards the stars. Where, don't get me wrong, like when I was growing up as a kid, I had a Carmelo Anthony jersey backpack, and that was neat. But Carmelo played in Denver, right? I'm growing up in New York. Now, I haven't always rooted for every New York team, to be fair, but I feel like now in the era of social media, I don't know how many kids, like 8, 9, or 10, are sitting down and watching all these games where you could log on to a phone, and every kid, yeah, born with a phone in their hand, and you see all these highlights. Like, look at, I know Steph Curry is as popular could be, change the game. You walk around any street, you see Steph Curry jerseys. And with Victor Wembanyama, because you have to have a unique ability. Like LeBron, we know he's a force to be reckoned with, one of the greatest players of all time. Steph Curry, he looks like a lot of us, right? When you go to the gym, and the next, like, you wouldn't necessarily think that he's definitely a basketball player. The next thing you know, he's the greatest three-point shooter I've ever seen. But for Victor Wembanyama, you look at him and it's just such a large person standing in at 7'6" or 5", whatever it is. And I'm buying the other day, he looks like he's a video game. And to see when that guy gets on the court, it's going to be really damn fun. And I just hope that he lives up to the hype. I really do. And I wonder, is the hype so big that we're just like setting him up to fail? Because if this guy goes on to be Durant, that's a disappointment. Like, just a few years ago, people were saying Durant was the best player in the league. That's now a disappointment. I just think that's idiotic. And what, people are only going to be happy now if it's him being LeBron or MJ? And also, can we stop with this GOAT stuff? Maybe it's a problem that a lot of people have in the media. I find it insufferable, the GOAT conversation. Everyone's like a GOAT now. And Brandon Miller the other day, and I thought Scoopy Robinson, who asked him the question and joined us in the studio last night, brought up a great point. You could say someone's your favorite player, but just because they're your favorite player doesn't mean they're the GOAT. And now, I feel like whoever your favorite player is, you just go, oh, he's the GOAT. Like Paul George? Playoff Pinocchio, as I like to call him? He's not even the best player on his own damn team. But you have Brandon Miller calling him the GOAT. But I really do believe for Victor Wembanyama, with the way that people have hyped him up, that people need to see this guy be in the GOAT conversation. Because if, like, say what you want about Chris Broussard, right? And I know he's technically our competition on the same time as us. I happen to like Chris Broussard. Rob Parker is coast. I'm not the biggest fan of. We've got into a few contentious debates in the past. But Chris Broussard has been around for a long time, and he's seen a lot of basketball. Chris Broussard knows the power when he says that if someone goes on to be Kevin Durant or Hakeem Olajuwon, being a student of the game, knowing what those guys have accomplished, what that means, that if he goes on to be that, he would be a disappointment. When you get into that, talk about all-time greats, he's got to be in the elite fraternity of all-time greats. And I really do hope that this kid, Victor Wembanyama, reaches that. Because if he does, like just as someone that has almost never seen him play, outside of YouTube highlights, he's someone that is a larger-than-life human being. He's someone that when you're creating a video game, right? I was a big college basketball video game player. I remember I had the J.J. Redick 2K video game. And I created myself in the video game. I didn't even make myself 7'5". Made myself 6'10 and have a 99 three-point shot, obviously. But this guy, you don't even create in a video game. You know, one moment he's 7'2", 7'3", 7'4", 7'5". It's crazy. That was a shot. Stephen A. Smith, a big dude. Tall guy. Not the tallest human being I've ever seen. But Stephen A. Smith played college basketball. Stephen A. is interviewing Victor Wembanyama. He had like six step stools if he wanted to reach Victor Wembanyama's face. J.J. Redick, who played in the NBA, and I know he's was a really good shooter. J.J. Redick is what, 6'4"? He looked like a grape when he was sitting next to Victor Wembanyama. Let's see real quickly. Height of Stephen A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith, okay, 6'1". Victor Wembanyama, standing next to him, it was like you're looking at a four-year-old with a microphone next to like Taco Fall. It was crazy. Let's see, J.J. Redick's height. Yeah, he is 6'4", J.J. Redick. That's just crazy. You know what it's going to be? Joel Embiid, who is a thick human being. Joel Embiid is listed as 7 feet tall. He's taller than 7 feet tall. I've covered Joel Embiid when I was younger in Philadelphia. I've been at the same bars as Joel Embiid. I'm 6'4". Joel Embiid is larger than 7. He's got to be 7'2". And Wembanyama is, what, 7'5", 7'4", 7'6", like wherever you read it? When you see Wembanyama next to Embiid, that's going to be telling. Because obviously Embiid is wider. But Wembanyama, he's going to have a few inches on Joel to process Embiid. So I really hope that Wembanyama goes on to be what we are making him out to be. Because it would just be so fun as a fan. Like, what are you tuning in for NBA regular season? I'm being serious here. The NBA is in a good spot right now. We all know that. But there's so many, like, how many times do we really get jacked up for a regular season game? When this guy plays this year, every game it's going to be an event. And if it starts off strong, where he's as good as advertised, it's just going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's going to be the fun part. Because there's one thing to be a great player. There's another thing to be a great player with something unique. And Victor Wembanyama, because of his height and the way that he handles the basketball, he has the ability to be just so bleeping unique. And that is what makes me, as a sports fan, say, wow, or I want to spend my money, regardless what the cost is, to go see that guy. Because we have some boring stars. There are some boring stars where you know how great they are, but when they come to town, you don't have to see them. This guy, and it's not always your play that has to speak for itself, but this guy's play can speak for itself. And it's going to be really, really fun to see how this plays out. So, the breaking news right now, as I'm watching the NBA draft coverage, the pick is in. I'm going to sit here in great anticipation and wonder who the pick is going to be. I don't remember what the guy did bet, but I saw some bet today. I forget what the odds were, that someone put down a bet that only is going to win them like $300 for Victor Wembanyama to be the first overall pick. And I think it was like the guy bet like $60,000 or something like that. I remember reading. It was a large amount of money. So we just win $300. And we all know he's going to be the number one overall pick. But could you imagine if like Greg Popovich was like, nope, not going to happen. And there you go. Remember, you're listening to CBS Sports Radio tonight on a potential historical evening. Victor Wembanyama, the start of potential greatness. Maybe the greatest player you've ever seen. Uh-oh. I already hear the Michael Jordan and LeBron James fans lining up on our phone lines at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Victor Wembanyama is walking across the stage, hugging people right now, the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. There was an update anchor here, Jay Berman. Jay Berman, the reason why I did, oh, you're listening to CBS Sports Radio, a little jab at Jay. He was on the air giving the update as the interception occurred, Russell Wilson to Malcolm Butler. And he's like, and just remember, we have to dig this audio up because it was so great. And just remember, you were listening to CBS Sports Radio and Jay Berman told you that information. If you want to send me something, 345 Hudson Street, 10th floor, the name is Jay Berman. It was just a great way to deliver in the moment, impromptu, just one of the wackiest endings to a game that you'll ever see. So there you go, Victor Wembanyama out of France, the number one overall pick. You know, Adam Silver's a tall dude. Adam Silver, he looks like me standing next to like Connor Green around here. How tall is Adam Silver? Holy smokes. Adam Silver height. Adam Silver is 6'3". This is unbelievable. That's like, Chris, you just saw that. Your jaw was hitting the floor. Adam Silver is a tall dude. And he looked as if he was like a third grader next to Victor Wembanyama.
It's not so much the height disparity that spoke to me, because we know how tall Victor Wembanyama is.
Yeah.
He is a massive human being.
Yeah.
And he makes anybody above 6'3", 6'4", look like small.
Yes.
But I was more so shocked at when he was shaking his hand.
Large hands.
Wembanyama's hands were completely engulfing Adam Silver's hand. And we saw the other night at Yankee Stadium, he made a baseball, a regulation-sized baseball, look like a ping-pong ball, basically.
100%.
Incredible.
Hickey said that to me yesterday. We were sitting right next to Victor Wembanyama, and he's doing the press conference, kind of like nudging me. He goes, look at the size of this guy's hands. And I was like, oh, my goodness gracious. And I was saying, when you go to the NBA store, they have those basketballs that the players have their hand prints on, and you could like kind of put your hand in the place of their handprint to measure your hand. They got to do that for Victor Wembanyama. And even though it's probably disgusting and there's a lot of germs in there, I would go just to see like where my hands are in comparison to Victor Wembanyama. So there you go. Victor Wembanyama, first overall pick, no surprise. We got the second overall pick coming up right now. The Charlotte Hornets are on the clock. And this is the big, big pick here. Like, the draft now is officially started. Because is it going to be Scoot Henderson or will it be Brandon Miller? That's the big question. And whoever does not go two, Henderson or Miller, you would assume that they're going to go three. And then if you get through the first three picks, without that third pick, right, you find out, because you always have these guys, they get drafted, then they get traded, they have the wrong cap on because of the way that the NBA does this. It's so stupid each and every year. But if you don't hear anything in like 30, 40 minutes after that about Portland intending to trade whoever they selected at three for a veteran player, the big question becomes, how is Dame going to react to that? And will Damian Lillard finally say to Portland, thanks for the memories, thanks for all the great times, but it's time for me to go elsewhere to go win an NBA championship? We will continue to keep you updated on the NBA draft. When we come on back, though, we're going to be joined by the starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings. Alexander Mattison will join us. This is the Zach Gelb Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Let's head out to the guest line right now and welcome in a man that played his college football at Boise State. He was the third round, 102nd overall pick in the 2019 NFL draft by the Minnesota Vikings. He's had a successful career so far in Minnesota and now is going to be the lead back. And that, of course, is Alexander Mattison. Alexander, always appreciate the time. Thanks for it. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Of course, my pleasure. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing fantastic. Let me just ask you this right out of the gate. If I would have said to you after the playoff loss to the Giants that next year you'd be back in Minnesota and you would be the starting running back for the Vikings, what would you have said to me at that time?
Honestly, I'm not sure I would have said much. I probably would have just kind of laughed it off and thought, you know, in the back of my mind, I know that this is probably my last game here. I don't know if you saw, there's a kind of a viral video of someone capturing the moments where I was just really soaking it all in. And that was really not only just, you know, after that loss, it just hurt to just go out that way after that season that we had. But understanding that this could, and most likely is, my last game in U.S. Bank as a Minnesota Viking, it just all hit me at once. And that really was, you know, where I was thinking headed into free agency, that, you know, we're going to go find a new home, a new team. And, so it was a pretty big shock to be back in Minnesota.
When you got the deal finalized with Minnesota on a two-year deal, just how did you kind of process that one with all those emotions that you thought you were on the way out?
It was extremely, how can I put it? It was one of those things, one of those moments where I knew it was a place that I could see myself, even when I got drafted there, I could see myself finishing my career as a Minnesota Viking. Just the logistics of it all, obviously for me, didn't feel like it was realistic to do so. But I would have loved, and so now that I'm back, I do love the fact that I'm back, because When I first got drafted there, my first year, I was telling my family that I would love to just play my whole career here, play my whole career in one place and the best place to play in the league at that. So to be back, I was extremely grateful. I was extremely honored that they showed their interest in bringing me back and their trust in bringing me back. And, you know, the deal that they proposed, it was something that was just, it all just pointed in the right direction of that trust that they had in me and belief in me.
Were you close to signing somewhere else? Was that ever a real possibility? Did that ever get close?
There was some talks, but Minnesota, they had the most respect behind their offer towards me, and you could tell that they wanted me there. And I'm not sure if there was any other back on their radar. I think I might have been the one back that they were trying to go after in free agency, and then, you know, the cards kind of fall after that. So there was some talks here and there, but once the guy started signing, all directions started to point a little bit towards narrowing down to Minnesota.
Alexander Mattison here with us. We're familiar with you. We've talked to you a bunch throughout the years, but now you're going to get a lot more carries in that backfield, being the lead back. If people haven't seen you play, what does Alexander Mattison bring to a football team?
I like to always go by the motto behind my running style is a downhill, fast, and physical back. I play with violent knee drive, and I bring physicality and, sneaky elusiveness. And I think that when you see me step on that field and see me play, that's exactly what you see.
Why are you ready for this moment to be the lead back in Minnesota now?
I prepared for it my entire career, my entire life. I've prepared to be in this position. You know, I've dreamt of this moment. I've dreamt of this opportunity. So now it's all about seizing the opportunity and continuing to prepare like a pro, practice like a pro, and recover like a pro. And, all hats off to Dalvin Cook and the way that he was able to really mentor me and challenge me to continue to challenge myself and to challenge him. Even though we knew the dynamic of the running back room, we were able to, you know, create such a competitive and brotherhood bond that he was making me a better person every day.
With that relationship and that synergy that you guys shared, there were so many rumors that Dalvin Cook was either going to be traded or released this offseason. When it became official that Minnesota was moving on, just how did you kind of react to that?
It was definitely something to process. We had talked pretty much five times between me signing back and him being released. And, you know, we knew that it was going to happen. We knew that it was a matter of time. But, you know, obviously to the public, it was something that wasn't out there. But the conversations between us, it was just, you know, he passed the torch. And I'm just extremely excited for this opportunity to not only make him proud, but not let him down. Just because I understand how much he meant to this organization, how much his time here was so impactful. So just talking to him, that's kind of where our mindsets were throughout the process. You know, he was glad that if he was passing the torch, it was to me.
I know you said there was a lot of things behind the scenes that the public was not made aware of. When you re-signed in mid-March, did you know and did you have a good feel that he was not going to be back with the team?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, signing that deal, I kind of knew what it was. That's one thing I can commend with the front office of the Vikings. You know, they keep it real with you and they give you, you know, straightforward answers. And, I wasn't signing a deal to come back and be a backup running back. So kind of from just signing those papers, we knew what eventually it was pointing to, just because of how, you know, the business of that thing works. You know, of course, Dalvin Cook is a franchise, a historic back in Minnesota history. So it's definitely not an easy decision on their part at all. But, you know, the business of everything kind of shakes things up.
Alexander Mattison here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. A lot of people are wondering, what direction is this Minnesota Vikings team heading in with some of the moves that they've made and some of the players that they've said goodbye to? this past offseason. You got a lot of talent on this team. What do you believe that this group can accomplish this upcoming season?
Well, the big goal that we have is, to make that big dance at the end. I think that we're fully capable, and I think we have the confidence within the team to really go get that done. But, you know, we take it one game at a time, one week at a time. We understand the many goals that we have in between getting there. But I wholeheartedly believe that this is a team coming back this year, and the added pieces, even though we have lost some pieces, I think we have a great opportunity ahead of us going into year two with this offense, with bringing in Brian Flores to head that defense. It's definitely looking scary on that side of the ball, and I think that we have the utmost confidence and capability for us to go make a run this year.
What do you say to people that look at Minnesota and go, they won so many one-score games last year that they thought you guys were fraudulent, and also that this team's not going to be able to have sustained success? What do you say to the doubters?
I say tune in, tap in. It's not a fluke. And that was something that kind of got under our skins a little bit last year, is to understand that, how do we continue to do it time and time again, and people still don't believe in us and still don't think that we're capable of, being this successful and attaining the success that we did attain during that season. You don't finish games like that. You don't finish a season like that. It's just not real. So I just, tell those people to tune in and get ready, buckle up their seatbelts and get ready for another great season, because the mindset that we have coming into this is to prove all the doubters wrong and prove our supporters right. And just within our locker room, within our family, we have goals that we have for each other. And, we're going to ride with each other no matter what the outcome is.
What did Kevin O'Connell, Alexander Mattison, bring to this football team last year?
I think he brought not only an aggressive attacking mindset to the offensive defense, to the team overall, but just a positive mentality that, no matter what, overcoming adversity is a part of life, is a part of the game. And we know that we can trust in him to give us 110% week in and week out, no matter the outcome, and to give us his all and trust in us, and we trust in him. And I think that's a big part of the foundation that we laid going into last season, is just that trust in one another and trust in the process and understanding that at the end of the day, we're the only ones that can beat ourselves. And, if that's the case, then so be it. We go back to the drawing board and we figure out a way to not let it happen again.
I know you're very close with Dalvin Cook, like we talked about earlier, Alexander Mattison. What is a team getting? Whoever signs Dalvin Cook, what are they getting right now in him?
Oh, man. I mean, his career speaks for itself. They're getting all-pro, Pro Bowl, superstar running back. I mean, there's not much else I can say about him that doesn't speak for itself, but he's definitely one of a kind. He's definitely a leader, not only on the field, but off the field. He's definitely one of those once-in-a-lifetime special guys that just brings a different edge to his team. So love him to death and wishing him nothing but the best. And we're going to be chopping it up soon when whatever happens. But, yeah, he's just one of a kind.
Hey, by the way, I know that you guys are both younger players, but you've had now a few years in the league. We all know how great Justin Jefferson has been. I'm just wondering, being on a same offense as Justin Jefferson, what have you been able to learn and pick up from him?
JJ is funny because he's sort of a mystery when it comes to how great he is. I used to say it all the time. I don't even know if he knew how great he was going to be his rookie year. Like, we all saw it, but I don't think he understood the level of greatness that he was going to attain. I know, everyone has those dreams. Everyone has that feeling that, they're the best in their position, because you have to have that confidence within the game to go out there and be the best. But he definitely carries himself in probably one of the most humble ways that you can see a superstar carry themselves, an international superstar that he is, a freak athlete that he is. He definitely just carries himself in a different way. So just watching him and talking to him and everything. He's just one of those guys. He's still a kid just playing a game that he loves. And he was just blessed with some God-given talent, and he was blessed with the work ethic to make sure that he separated himself from pretty much any other receiver that's played this game. I think he's headed on that route for sure.
And I know that he still has 2 years left under contract, but they better get a deal done with him soon, because you don't want to risk anything going the wrong way with Justin Jefferson.
Oh yeah. You want to make sure he's the one you want to make sure retire the bike, and that's for sure.
Absolutely. Before we let you run, one of our affiliates is The Ticket in Boise. You played your college football at Boise State. How do you look back at what Boise State meant to Alexander Mattison?
Oh man, Boise State was probably one of the most pivotal time frames in my life. You know, those years make the young men that we grow into be. So I'm extremely grateful for the people I had around me, the mentors that I had, Coach Harson, Coach Marks, who really helped me develop not only a blue collar mentality on the field, but life skills to help me navigate through the stresses of life, overcome adversity in life, and just be a great, well-rounded human being. And I think I learned that much more from Boise State than even just, you know, the football side of things. And I can really just say that I'm extremely grateful for my time. And every time I go back, I just get to reminisce and all the hard times and overcome the adversity throughout my time there, and just understanding that those pivotal years in my life at Boise State really kind of made me the person I am today.
Well, I always appreciate your time. Really happy for your success and excited to see with more carries how the season does pan on out for you guys this year. Thanks so much for doing this today, and continue success, all right?
Thank you. I really appreciate you. It's always a pleasure.
Do you hear that? That is the sound of BMW performance without a single piston or cylinder. A generation of all-electric vehicles designed and built like no other. The BMW iX, i7, and i4 revolutionize every drive into a thrilling opportunity to feel the pure rush of BMW 100% electric. But isn't that what you'd expect from the ultimate electric driving machine? Take advantage of exceptional lease and finance offers today.
Now back to the Zach Gelb Show.
Sending nothing but the best after that rejoin to Deion Sanders. As Marco said in the update, he's going to go emergency surgery for blood clots in his legs. Unlikely to have his foot amputated. So wishing nothing but the best for primetime and Deion Sanders as he gets ready to embark on a highly anticipated season number one at Colorado. And we hope he's able to come out okay after this surgery. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Let's get you updated on the NBA draft. So when we last talked to you about the draft, Victor Wembanyama did go with the number one overall pick. Brandon Miller did go two to Alabama. So much for earlier this morning. And I said this earlier. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, Scoot Henderson may be the number two overall pick compared to Brandon Miller. Scoot Henderson may go on to be a better player than Brandon Miller. But through most of the process, the feel was that Brandon Miller was going to be the number one overall pick. And then the Shams Charania report comes out today. Oh, it's coming down to the, you know, we're in the 11th hour. They still don't know. They're still deciding. Who goes through this process and has to wait the day of the draft to make a final decision? I don't buy that. I know you don't find out where you're picking until later. It's not like the NFL draft, the season ends, you know, right away where you're going. But come on. If it's been Brandon Miller throughout the entire way, what, this morning they wake up like, oh, we're second guessing here. So we could stop with that baloney. Brandon Miller goes second overall pick. Scoot Henderson goes three to Portland. We'll get into this more coming up in the next hour. But now how is Damian Lillard going to react to this? That's the big question. Because as I sit here and do my Windy fingers, Windy kept on saying that Victor Wembanyama is the story of the draft. And then once the draft sees Victor Wembanyama goes to the Spurs, that after that, the big intrigue is who goes to. It ends up being Brandon Miller. And then three is where the fun really starts. Because what Portland's going to do at three, and they end up going Scoot Henderson, could impact what Damian Lillard wants to do. And Dame keeps on telling you, I want to win, I want to win, I want to win, and I want to win in Portland. He hasn't said that he wants out, but the report from Windhorse was that he prefers the Portland Trail Blazers to go get a veteran player with the third overall pick. Now, I haven't seen anywhere that they're going to trade Scoot Henderson to go get that veteran player. So if they don't get that veteran that Dame approves by the end of the night, you would assume, logically, that Damian Lillard would then ask for a trade. But there's one thing to kind of say, these are what my cards are, this is what I want to happen, and then when the other person beats it, which would be your own organization, and they do it to the best interest for them in terms of drafting Scoot Henderson, for then Dame to come back and say, okay, you didn't call my bluff, now I'm going to say I want out. So I'll have to wait and see on that front. Then you got Amen Thompson go 4 to the Rockets. His brother, Sir Thompson, both of overtime elite, does go 5 to the Pistons. And then Anthony Black out of Arkansas does go 6 to Orlando Magic. And I don't believe that any trades have been made yet, because that's the most confusing part of the NBA draft. I've been there before where you're sitting in the room and you're talking to, it's so awkward when you go and cover the draft. Because there's been times before where if you're on social media and you're savvy, you know, okay, so-and-so got traded. But the NBA, it's so stupid what they do. They make the player wear the hat of the team that they get drafted by. Then a trade happens. Dude's sitting at the podium for a press conference, and I'll just throw a random team out there. Let's go Dallas. So-and-so, you got drafted by Dallas. You know, how does it feel? And then the prospect sitting up there saying, well, this is awkward because I got traded to, let's just say, like Oklahoma City with the Thunder. So that happens each and every year. But so far, from my understanding, there have been no trade to the first 6 picks of the draft. So it's gone so far how it's been projected. Wembanyama 1, Miller 2, Henderson 3, and then Amen Thompson 4. And Marco brought this up to me because I was seeing like a Sir Thompson kind of be like in the 6, 7, or 8 range. And he said, oh, watch the brothers end up going back-to-back to Thompson brothers. And that's what ended up happening. And he said that he read one mock draft this morning that said maybe that a Sir Thompson ends up going as high as number 5. So good job by our great update anchor in El Capitan in Marco Belletti. So now it's like you get to the first 4 or 5 picks of the draft and it's, let's see when the trades and all the chaos does go down. And I really do believe with this draft, so far, right, there was all that talk. The Pelicans are trying to move up to get the 2nd or 3rd overall pick. What happens with Dame Lillard as well? Like that has been some of the conversations. I never thought for a single second that Zion Williamson was going to get traded tonight and that a team was going to give up the 2nd or 3rd overall pick in the draft for Zion Williamson. And I'll give credit to John Fanta, who joined us earlier in the week, and I love John. John does a great job for Fox and also for the Big East, and he's everywhere. Field of 68 as well. And he said it'd be idiotic because even though you're hoping Brandon Miller and Scoot Henderson turn out to be something, we know what Zion Williamson can be, but the guy's never healthy. And I know like Embiid struggled to stay healthy the first few years to get on the court, and then he finally gets on the court and he turns out to be an MVP. But for Zion, there's all these commitment issues that are being brought to our attention. And I don't want to give a lot of conversation to what's going on with Mariah Mills and all that stuff. Like, if you're going to sleep around, that's not going to be a reason why I'm going to trade you. But when you start to hear that he doesn't have relationships really with his teammates and he doesn't have a relationship with the front office part, okay, that's not the biggest cause for concern. It's a business. But when you don't have a relationship with your teammates, I just don't see how you succeed there. And you got some good teammates there with CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram as well. Like there's some good players on the New Orleans Pelicans. But it just never registered to me where it'd be crazy if you said this a few years ago because the guy was one of the more hyped prospects we'll ever see, that you would sit here and say a few years later, yeah, you wouldn't trade the 2nd or 3rd overall pick for Zion Williamson. So for now, not that you lay the Zion Williams stuff to rest, but in terms of him not being on the Pelicans, yeah, you lay that conversation to rest and you kind of put it on the back burner until maybe the trade deadline. But if he was going to get traded, it was going to be for a top 5 pick, and that's not the case. And then all eyes now go to Dame in who's going to be the first person. It'd actually be cool if Dame popped on one of these streams tonight. If we get Dame going on one of these streams. Remember when Jordan Love got drafted and Rodgers ends up going on the McAfee stream and gave his reaction? I forget what he said. Something along the lines of like he put like three or four fingers into a glass of scotch or something and started drinking, knew it was going to be a long night. I would love to hear from Damian Lillard tonight. I would be surprised if we hear from Dame. But if you're Damian Lillard, you would think, right? If you wanted a veteran player, if that's true, and they draft Scoot Henderson, that we're waiting for the domino to fall, and it's a massive domino, where Dame's going to say, okay, Portland, thank you, peace, I'm out, trade me. We'll get into that conversation on the other side. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Damian Lillard. Big question. What were the Portland Trail Blazers going to do with the third overall pick? As we've been talking about, we now know it's Scoot Henderson. How does that impact the future of Damian Lillard? And I would have loved to have seen Dame won a championship in Portland with about two, three more really good prime years left. If you keep on giving the benefit of the doubt to Portland to find a way to get this right, it's a definition of insanity. So we're going to react on the other side to what Dame should do and will it actually happen? It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio.